From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, do we have a show in store for all of you. Of course, we will be recapping what went down in Indianapolis, Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium. Folks, your Michigan State football team is in the college football playoff. Wow. Never thought I'd be saying that, folks. Unbelievable game on Saturday, filled with a lot of drama. Last-second drama. We've seen that before this season, right? We will have coverage from Indianapolis, Indiana. Of course, I was out there along with Current Sports TV producer Tim Elkins, who totally rocked it out for us. Much thanks to Tim for all of his work out there. So you don't want to miss any of our post-game interviews. You will also talk about Connor Cook and the situation concerning his MVP trophy, which is a bit comical if you ask me. But we'll chat about that as well as take your calls throughout this hour. Folks, if you want to talk about the Spartans making it all the way to the Final Four, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. This is going to be a fun show. But hey, before we get to all of that hoopla and so much more, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, December 7th. Saturday, 16-13 win over Iowa on a stretching touchdown from freshman LJ Scott delivered MSU's ninth Big Ten championship. It's third under head coach Mark D'Antonio, and the Spartans didn't need ESPN selection show on Sunday at noon to know it also delivered a berth in the second annual four-team college football playoff. Alabama will play the Spartans in the Cotton Bowl Classic in Texas on New Year's Eve in the college football playoff semis. The winner will play in the national championship in January in Arizona against the winner of number one Clemson and number four Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl out in beautiful sunny Miami, Florida. When Connor Cook went to check his Twitter shortly after number five at the time, Michigan State's dramatic 16-13 comeback victory over number four Iowa in the Big Ten title game on Saturday night, he was expecting to see a lot of congratulatory tweets, but that didn't happen. He was inundated with negative tweets, 140 character attacks on the disrespectful way he accepted the Big Ten title game MVP trophy from Ohio State legend and two-time Heisman Trophy winner Archie Griffin. Cook saw the video, and he made it a point to apologize to Griffin in the post-game interview, which you will hear later on in the show. We'll chat about that and more. The 17th-ranked University of Michigan football team, they will be heading to Florida over the holiday season, squaring off against the 19th-ranked Florida Gators in the 2016 Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. On Friday, January 1st, New Year's Day of 2016, this will be the Wolverines' fifth appearance in the Citrus Bowl. Central Michigan, they will play Minnesota in the Quick Lane Bowl on December 28th at Ford Field in Detroit. The Chippewas, who finished 7-5 on the year, 6-2 in conference play, they earned a share of the Mid-American Conference West Division title in John Bonamago's first year as head coach. Western Michigan, they will face Middle Tennessee on December 24th. That's right, Christmas Eve in the Bahamas Bowl in Nassau's Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Man, that should be an exotic location for a pretty cool bowl game. Now, the Broncos, they finished 7-5. They earned a share of the Mid-American Conference West title and are in their second straight bowl after winning six of their past eight games. They have the top receiving duo in the country in Daniel Braverman and Corey Davis. Congrats to the Broncos. That's big. All right, behind senior forward Akiah Taylor's second double-double of the year, the Michigan State women's basketball team. They snapped a two-game losing streak with a 76-47 win over Loyola Chicago at the Breslin Center on Sunday. With the win, the Spartans improved to 5-2 overall, while Loyola Chicago falls to 2-5 on the year. Denzel Valentine, he had 13 points, 12 rebounds, and Brim Forbes scored 14 points as number 3 Michigan State rolled over Binghamton 76-33 on Saturday. Now, the Spartans are 9-0. They stormed to a 41-12 halftime lead, shooting 15 of 29 from the field and holding cold-shooting Binghamton, who are 2-5 on the year, to 4 of 31. Yes, 4 of 31. That's bad, folks. For the game, Michigan State was 30 of 65, and the Bearcats were 10 of 60. The MSU hockey team, they fell short twice at Penn State this weekend. And last but not least, the Detroit Pistons. The focus on Kobe Bryant's last visit to Detroit, Pistons showed they are turning into a pretty good basketball team. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he scored 22 points. Andre Drummond added 18 points and 15 rebounds, and the Pistons beat the LA Lakers 111-91 on Sunday. Reggie Jackson added 20 points as the Pistons won their fourth straight. Kobe Bryant missed his first 9 shots. When he finally made one, which was a 3-pointer midway through the third quarter, the fans gave him his second ovation of the night, and a brief Kobe chant broke out at the Palace. Congratulations to Kobe Bryant again. This is his final season, and that was his last appearance at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Now begins the Spartan College Football Playoff Talk. Call into the show, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let the show begin.
Excited about the opportunity to play in the college football playoff, first opportunity for Michigan State. Also extremely proud of our football team and our players and the way they've handled the schedule, the way they've handled the adversity throughout the season, and the way that we've been able to move forward. We have played on a big stage and we played in front of a lot of people, and we're used to success, and if we don't have success, it bothers us, and we're going to keep pushing. Doesn't ensure success, but we're going to keep pushing, and we're going to have an edge to what we do. That's just how this has been built.
Is how we start today's current sports, and I am just now seeing, and I pretty much expected this, everyone expected this, but MSU does not just have a number 3 ranked college football team, but in the latest rankings in the world of college basketball, MSU men's basketball team is numero uno in the nation. Are you kidding me? What a time to be a Spartan. Oh, boy. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we will be taking your phone calls all the way up until 2 p.m. I know there are many of you out there that are itching to share your thoughts on what took place in Indianapolis, Indiana, the MSU football team booking its ticket to the college football playoff, where, of course, in the semis, round one, again, they will play Alabama of all teams. That's right, Nick Saban, former Michigan State head football coach from 1995 to 1999, that has gone on to win national championships with Bama and to have an illustrious college football coaching career. That's who the Spartans will play on New Year's Eve out in Texas at Jerry World. This is unbelievable. I can't believe I'm sitting here saying this, folks. What a ride it's been. What a culture that is on this campus right now. And again, there's been no better time to be a Michigan State sports fan. I mean, it's truly remarkable. Now, of course, I was in Indy to witness that incredible game between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Spartans. And I gotta say this before I move forward. I want to give a lot of credit and a big hats off to Kirk Ferentz and that unbelievable Hawkeyes team, that unbelievable Hawkeye fan base. I mean, when I got to the stadium, when Tim Elkins, our current sports TV producer, and I got to the stadium, the big question on our mind was, you know, how was the layout when it comes to the fandom? How was the layout going to be? Was it going to be more Spartan fans there, or was it going to be more Hawkeye fans there? Now, in the hotel that we stayed at, which was about, you know, like 10 minutes away from Lucas Oil, we saw nothing but black and gold. Absolutely nothing but black and gold everywhere we went. I've pretty much throughout the entire weekend, at least in our hotel, speaking about our hotel, I mean, we only saw about maybe two Spartan fans in the hotel. Like two when we got there, you know, well, one when we got there and one when we left, actually. From there on out, it was just Iowa Hawkeye fans everywhere. And you saw it. You saw it on your television. I mean, it was like 70-30, if I had to put a number on it. 70-30, Iowa. Hands down, period. And, you know, when we got to the stadium, you know, we watched part of the game up in the press box, and it was such a defensive battle. Iowa, they were 12-0 for a reason. And I think we saw that, folks. We saw the reason why they were 12-0. They have an unbelievable quarterback who doesn't make many mistakes, if any, throughout a football game. And that Iowa Hawkeye defense is so stingy. And in particular, I want to point out, you know, really the anchor of that Hawkeye defense, who is just a stud, who was named as the Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year, Desmond King. How good was he? And going against his cousin and Aaron Burbridge, a storyline that I didn't even know about until like minutes before the game, he actually made a big third down stop during that game when things really started to get chippy and when it was really close in that game. He made a third down stop on his cousin Aaron Burbridge. But man, that Iowa defense all around, they made big plays to keep their respective team in the game. And then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the floodgates open. When C.J. Beathard was able to find, of course, Tavon Smith for that big 85-yard bomb. And as soon as it happened, I got to be honest, we were sitting in the press box, and I sat there next to Tim, and I said, man, and we both said the same thing. We said, man, with the way this Hawkeye defense is playing, that may have been it right there. That may be it's done. You know, the Spartans, I don't know how the Spartans are going to rebound from that. But lo and behold, they did. With 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, a 22-play drive was put together. One of the greatest drives I've ever seen in college football, folks. I mean, just very slow, very methodical, and there was a big play mix. Now, again, we were sitting in the press conference room because we were getting ready, again, with 5 minutes left in the game. They don't let you shoot the game when it comes to these late-season, postseason games. So we weren't on the sidelines watching that game at the moment. We didn't get to actually get on the field until about 5 minutes left in the game, and we couldn't really see what was taking place on the final plays of that drive. We were in the tunnel, and we had to watch it. Well, you know, we could barely we just had a good angle at the Jumbotron looking at it, and all of a sudden we see Michigan State slowly driving. I actually had to go back last night. The Big Ten Network, they had a 60-minute replay of the game, and I went back last night and watched every single play of that final drive. 22 plays, folks. And there were, in particular, two moments for me that stood out, that seemed to me to be the big moments, other than, of course, the L.J. Scott punch-in for the game-winning TD. One happened to be on that 3rd and 8 with 5 minutes left in the game. 3rd and 8, folks. Michigan State is, you know, they just crossed midfield. And Connor Cook delivers an NFL on-the-button throw. As Gus Johnson put it, Connor Cook put this ball in the shoebox, folks. I mean, it was that tight of a window to Aaron Burbridge, two Hawkeyes flanking him, one in back of him, one in front of him, and he holds on after Connor Cook puts it on the money. He holds on after the big hit from those two Hawkeyes to give Michigan State the first down, and to continue to drive. That was huge, especially in a game in which Connor Cook admitted the day after that, yes, that right shoulder was bothering him. And that's really the reason why we saw a lot of overthrows and a lot of inaccuracy from Cook. But he came through and delivered on that moment. And then another big play from Cook. 4th and 2, Michigan State in the red zone. They need a first down to give them life. Cook, what does he do? He runs. They run an option play with Connor Cook and L.J. Scott, and Cook takes it himself to give the Spartans a first down. How big was that? I mean, just putting the team on his shoulders, folks. That's what Connor Cook has done multiple times throughout this year, and that drive. That 22-play drive really epitomizes and puts in perspective how this season has gone for the Michigan State football team all year. They have faced resiliency. They have faced waning moments in the fourth quarter where it looked like they didn't have any hope, any chance to win the football game. But yet, they find a way. Yet, that competitive nature kicks in and they say, no, we are not done yet. We didn't come all this way just to fall short of reaching higher, if you will. And that drive epitomizes that mindset that has been loud and clear all season. So they convert on the 4th and 2, and it was crazy. When that play happened, we were in the tunnel. We were near the Michigan State fan base. We weren't anywhere near any Hawkeyes. And on television, looking back at it, you could clearly see that Cook had that first down. But in the stadium, it wasn't as clear. So jubilation went from, oh my goodness, did Cook get the first down? You could feel it from the fan base because they couldn't tell whether or not the ball was over the first down marker. So as soon as, you know, the chain gang came out, you could hear a pin drop on the Michigan State fan base side. And then, of course, when the referees, when the chain was pulled and it was seen that the football was over the chain and it was a first down, the crowd totally erupts. And then renewed hope hits the atmosphere once again for the Spartans. And then what happens? They pound the ball with L.J. Scott. He stopped. They pound it with him again. The Iowa Hawkeyes with another stop. And then the third time they give it to L.J. Scott, he keeps his feet moving, does not give up, stretches out, reaches higher, and crosses the end zone. Spartans heading to the college football playoff. Unbelievable moment, one that I won't forget, and I'm sure many of you out there won't forget, and we're asking you all to call in and give your thoughts on that game. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Now, before we get to our callers, we do have two on the line right now. Ray, I know you're on. Martin, I know you're on as well. I want to get to our coverage out there really briefly. Here was my post-game report after the Spartans punched a ticket to the college football playoff.
It was a defensive battle between the Spartans and Hawkeyes for much of the night, but then came the fourth quarter. when nail-biting drama collided with destiny for the Spartans. And the goal of competing for a national championship became not just a dream, but reality. To fight back in those final moments, a 22-play drive at the end, what was going through your guys' head?
You know, that's kind of how it's been all season. We've been hit with a lot of adversity. Guys just keep punching back and keep fighting. That's what we did tonight. Just a great win.
The O-line and L.J. Scott at the end.
You know, tremendous job by those guys. A 22-play drive in the fourth quarter. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Those guys made it happen, so it was awesome.
Now, when it got punched in, what was going through your head when it got punched in? I just want to know. Take me through your mindset, Riley.
I was honestly just thinking it's not over. We got a few more seconds to play some ball, which we did. I'm just so happy.
Do you think this season has been about destiny for you guys? With three close wins now and you guys now go to the college football playoff, has it been destiny for you guys to get here?
I definitely do. I just think, all the hard work and everything we've done the offseason, this season's paying off. And it's great to see.
What's going through your head right now, dude?
It's unbelievable. You know, I'm almost at a loss for words. I remember going on your show, back in the spring semester and saying that, we had something special going here. And it just took a little belief. It took everybody to have faith in us. And everybody in this team believed. From sunup to sundown, we put in so much hard work and effort to get to this place. And I think, that last drive is shows, the work we put in. A 22-play drive by the offense to win a game, that's unbelievable. Couldn't be more proud of them.
What went through your head? 22 plays. Emotions are high during that moment. What went through your head when that ball was punched to the goal line?
Yeah, just to go out there and finish the game. There was still going to be time on the clock left. We knew as a defense we're going to have to go and make a last play, and we were able to do that. Can never think the game's over till the clock hits zero, and I think we've proven that countless times this season, and it was up to us on defense to finish the game. We were able to do that.
Darren, how has this moment sort of capitalized that model you have had all year, reaching higher? You guys are competing for a national championship now.
Absolutely. It caps it off, just as much as it could. But it's not the end-all, be-all. We still got two games left if all goes right. This was, step two or three. The first step was to win the East, second was to win the Big Ten. Now we got to get to the playoffs, and I think we got a great chance of going.
How long you guys celebrate this one?
Same thing as always, 24 hours, maybe kick it to 27 a little bit for the plane ride back. But tomorrow we're going to know, our fate, and pretty sure we're going to be in that playoffs and know who we're playing, and we're going to get right to work.
Is it hard at all to wrap your mind around that you guys are headed to the college football playoff?
It is still a little bit. just a little. I'm a long way with this program, and Coach D's done one hell of a job, so we just got to keep pushing forward.
It feels crazy, but it'll hit me even harder tomorrow morning when we're on the plane back to East Lansing.
You made big plays when big plays needed to be made in that game. What was your thought process when you were out there, when you guys were down in that game? Did you kind of put the team on your back in certain areas of that game?
I know I'm one of the playmakers on this team, and playmakers make plays, and I had to help my team make plays, and that's what I did.
A 22-play drive to win this game. How methodical was that drive, and what was going through your head as you guys kept marching down the field? I'm sorry.
The drive started with like nine minutes and some seconds left, so we had to come down to score, and that's what we did. We were pounding them, got a couple of passes in, and LJ made that great play to get over the end zone, score.
What did you see on that LJ play, and did you think he was going to get in?
Actually, I didn't think he was going to get in at first. When I saw his hand reach out, I said, oh, my God, he scored. Now who's that?
LJ Scott, the deep man. LJ Scott running right. Again. Yes. Touchdown Spartans. What strength by the true freshman.
LJ Scott, he made a dude play here on the goal line and for us to score. And, it's great for him. And, we're on to the next. And it's just a blessing to be in here and get this W. And Iowa's a great team. Hats off to them. Well coached. They were 12-0 for a reason. Defense is very good. And they're solid. And we're just blessed to do it.
That was just kind of a pinch me moment for you.
It is. It definitely is. But, you got to remain humble and get, I guess it's life, man.
You've had more exciting runs and longer runs. Have you ever had a more memorable run than that one?
I never have a more memorable one, man. It's something I always remember. But, in order to get where we want to be, we got to move on from there and execute at the next level.
What was being a part of that last drive like?
It was crazy, man. The fact that they was counting on me to get me the ball, and I definitely wanted it. and I definitely try to get it each time.
Now, I know Coach D has the 24-hour rule to celebrate a victory. How long do you celebrate this one, though? You just punched a ticket to the college football playoff.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to celebrate at all because there's still more to do out there. The job isn't finished. We're aiming for the national championship, so I'm going to celebrate a little bit, but not too much. We got business to handle.
McGeer, you're telling me you're not going to celebrate this one at all? Come on now.
Honestly, no. A little bit.
A trip to the college football playoff now awaits Michigan State. And isn't it ironic that all year this team has talked about reaching higher? That has been the goal. And the play that got them there reached across the end zone and into the hearts of Spartan fans everywhere.
Oh, boy, you can never get enough of that call from Gus Johnson. If you want to check out the visual of that postgame report, all you have to do is simply log on to your laptop, iPhone, or iPad, or whatever smartphone device you have, and simply visit WKAR.org to check it out. It was a fun time. It was a crazy atmosphere being down there. Folks, again, we are asking you all to call in. Give your thoughts on the Spartans. Again, punching a ticket to the college football playoff. Call in 517-355-9527. Let's go to Ray on the line first. My man on line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Go Spartans, win the national title.
Crazy, right, Ray?
I'm telling you, that was one of the – I've been watching football for 60 years. That's one of the greatest drives. When they had the ball at 9 minutes, I said, you know what? When it got down to 4 or 5 minutes, I said, they might not get the ball back. They better score here. And I'll be darned if you didn't keep it the whole 9 minutes, frankly.
I'm telling you. You know, it was one of those drives. Again, that's one of the greatest drives in college football history. When you evaluate everything, I mean, everything that's on the line there. I mean, a ticket to the college football playoff, Michigan State, you know, down in the game, facing a lot of adversity, facing a defense that had been stellar all game. And then they come through
really
with 22
good.
Plays.
I told you Iowa would be really tough.
They were. Yeah,
hey, I'm going to tell you, that one-yard run was one of the greatest runs I ever seen. I'm going to tell you, the fullback knocked one guy down, but he had two guys he had to break tackles. And did you see how he hesitated before he lunged for the goal line? Because there was a linebacker coming on that play, and he was going to knock that ball out, and you would have lost the game with a fumble. But he hesitated till the linebacker got by him, and then he lunged.
That's what Tim and I were talking about. I mean, when LJ crosses the plane, well, even before he crosses the plane, again, you talk about that linebacker coming in. He raised the football so that the linebacker, it was like an Ole play, you know, like bullfighting or something like that. He raised up, and the linebacker goes past him, and then he crosses the plane, touchdown. What great awareness from LJ
Scott.
You know,
that guy was going to hit your football. He was going to hit right on the football and knock it out. I tell you, that it's a great thing that he hesitated. Is that guy a true freshman?
Yeah, he's a true freshman. Isn't that crazy?
How he had that kind of power to hesitate, because that ball would have been fumbled and you would have lost that game.
Well, I asked him about that very thing, Ray, right after the game. I said, you know, LJ, was it in your instinct to raise that football to make sure that linebacker didn't knock it out your hand? And he said, I honestly don't even remember it. It's all a blur to him. It was just second nature for him to do that, Ray.
I know it, and it's a good thing he did, because I think he would have knocked that ball out, don't you?
Yeah, and well, I do. Looking back at it, because I looked at it again, it looked like he crossed the plane before that linebacker even came into the picture. So it looked like he would have got the touchdown either way, though. But it's great instincts from a football player, though.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, I don't like your matchup, but, you know, you were going to have to play Alabama in the final, if not the semifinal. I think they're the best team left, but Oklahoma's really good, too. I think you would have matched up better with Clemson. But Connor Cook, I'm hoping in these 3 weeks give him rest and gets his strength back in his arm, because he was throwing a lot of balls high or low, and I know his shoulder was bothering him. But what a gamer that kid is. I tell you what, he reminds me a lot of Kurt Warner, the way he throws and the heart he's got. I think he's going to be a darn good NFL quarterback.
I think he will, too. And I have to respectfully disagree with you, Ray. I think this is a better matchup than if they were to play Clemson, to be honest with you. I think Alabama is very one-dimensional. They put a lot of they will pound you on the ground. I'm not sold on Jay Coker, though. I think Michigan State can beat Alabama. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying I like this matchup better than Clemson, because I think Clemson right now is playing the best football out of anybody.
Well, don't sleep on that quarterback. He threw two or three touchdowns this last game.
Coker has gotten better as the year has gone on.
Yeah, right? So you can't sleep on him either. But Henry, you're right. They got to stop Henry because he's getting 240, 200, 300 yards every game.
Give him the Heisman Trophy right now.
You got to keep that under control. But I like the way, you know, your coach let you run the ball when Cook was off that game. But could everything's going to have to be on all syncs now. There's two games left, but I think he got a good shot at it as anybody.
All right. Hey, Ray, great call. Appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's go to line two. Martin from Orchard Lake. Martin, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Oh, man. I got to give it to you. You know I bleed blue.
I know you do.
You know. I know you know I bleed blue. But sitting there watching 22 plays, 82 yards, that's championship football.
Right.
Like, that was my only thought as I'm sitting there watching it. Like, man, I can't wait till Michigan can play at a level like that. Like, seriously. I mean.
Yeah. And it's true. It's true because when you look at that drive, again, and Martin, that's why I say that drive, 22 plays, is one of the greatest in college football. And it sort of, again, puts in perspective how this season has been all year for Michigan State. I mean, we can go back to when the Spartans beat the Wolverines at the Big House.
Yeah, we don't have to, though.
But you know what I'm saying? 10 seconds on the clock, adversity, they got to make a play, and they do. That's the way the season has gone all year for Michigan State.
But, you know, as like I said, I told the screener, too, I'm a Michigan fan through and through. But watching State do what they did against Iowa, it validates all of it. It validates O'Neal dropping the ball and Jalen Watch Jackson taking it in for a touchdown. It validates the bad call in Nebraska because when it really came down to when push came to shove and it came time to look, are you real or are you not, they went out and proved they were real with a quarterback who couldn't throw the ball.
That's right. Yep.
Like, Cook didn't look good from the start. Mm-hmm. And then you heard some reports after, like, you know, I didn't think he may not have completed a good pass over 25 yards that entire game against the third best defense in the Big Ten and the sixth in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean,
yep.
First of all, that goes to say something about Big Ten defenses. But, I mean, that to me, that was just impressive. And to me, it shows you why D'Antonio right now is a class of the state. Like, it shows you why Michigan State is the class of the state and really has been for the last couple of years. But now that, I mean, because everybody likes to say that Michigan State doesn't get the respect. You know what I'm saying? But now, I mean, if they win the national title, they're going to beat who? They'll beat Alabama and then either Clemson or
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Those are blue blood college football programs. Like, the only way you could have made it any better is you were beating USC on the way. Like, Michigan State has arrived.
Right. I agree. And, you know, they thrive off of that chip on the shoulder. They love being the underdog, in which they are. I mean, looking at the Vegas odds right now, Michigan State is a 9-point underdog to possibly knock off the Crimson Tide. But, again, yeah, everyone is in love with this team right now, and they're starting to see what D'Antonio has slowly but surely built in East Lansing. It's a fun season. I got to ask you, I mean, with you, Martin, of course, you being a Michigan alum and a Michigan fan, what do you think about the season for the Wolverines? Of course, they will play Florida in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day. I mean, has this season been a success for you guys? Would you dub it that?
Man, I'll tell you this. Before the season started, I was 9-4 is where I thought they would end up, but I didn't know that 9-4 was going to feel this way. Like, honestly, like, when you sit back and look at it, you know, how do you measure success at a school like Michigan? Did you compete for a Big Ten title? No. Did you beat your rivals? No. But this is the best Michigan team that I've seen in the last 8 years,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Right,
so,
right.
Success, failure, I mean, I guess all in terms, it's like I really didn't think that Michigan was ever going to go a consecutive point where they were not giving up touchdowns. Like, they just didn't go in with, you know,
right.
15, 16 quarters with no touchdowns. And I... You know, I expected it to be more of a game. Like, I figured Michigan State would annihilate them. Figured Ohio State would do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they would lose to a Penn State or something along the way and struggle against teams like BYU. So, looking forward as a Michigan fan, I'm happy for what the future holds. But as far as this season goes, I can't necessarily go out on a limb and be like, oh, yeah, you know, Harbaugh really got it done this year because –
mm-hmm.
And it does suck, too, because let's be honest, like, if Blake O'Neal catches that ball, it's an entirely different phone call.
Right? That's so true. That is true. But you know what? Again, and I had this conversation last night with a few of my homies, and looking at, again, you know, Michigan's season this year. Again, if you look at the record, yeah, it's a big improvement. 9-3, you know, is a good record for Harbaugh's first year. But again, you lose to your rivals. That's never that leaves a bad taste in your mouth for the year. So I understand completely where you are coming from, Martin.
I'll tell you what. Last thing, I'm just glad that they didn't draw LSU, because Leonard Fournette would run all. Michigan stopping the run, like towards the last couple of weeks of the year. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine Fournette against that Michigan defense?
Oh my goodness! Woo! Yeah, right, right. Well, it's going to be a fun game regardless. I like Florida a lot. I think it's going to be a very competitive game on January 1st. Martin, great call, my man. Thanks a lot, dude.
Yep.
All right. Well, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will continue to take your outstanding telephone calls. Call in and weigh in on the Spartans booking a ticket to the college football playoff. 517-355-9527. We will also chat about Connor Cook snatching the MVP trophy from a college football legend. Yeah, you don't want to miss that. And we'll also hear from MSU band leader John Madden, as, of course, the MSU band directly responsible for making sure the Spartan fan base was turned up for that matchup on Saturday night. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKNC. Yeah, folks, it was a great time out in Indianapolis, Indiana, of course, covering that game at Lucas Oil Stadium. I want to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV will be taping this Wednesday at 6 p.m. I'll be chatting with Jeremy Miller, who is the head coach of the Pomona Westphalia High School football team. Of course, they came just short of a state championship this year, falling to Ishpeming. At Ford Field, Jeremy is going to talk about his team's incredible ride, though, in a team and a school that has yet to win, but have come very, very close in the last few years, but have still yet to win a high school football state championship title. So we'll chat with Jeremy. He'll also get his thoughts on the MSU college football fandom. Again, college football playoff, unbelievable stuff. And we actually shot. I will be doing no stand-up introduction on the green screen to begin this week's show. We did all of that. We filmed all of that in Indy, right on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. Tim Elkins, I can't, you know, express how big of a help Tim Elkins was. He does a fantastic job, and he did one unbelievable job hanging with me all weekend as we, you know, were around the entire city of Indy getting great shots for the show, and of course filming the post game interviews and stand-ups for this week's Current Sports TV. So you do not want to miss it. It will be, I guess you can say, a Big Ten championship special this Thursday night at 10:30 p.m. right on your televisions, WKAR-TV. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know, an interesting moment occurred after, you know, the confetti had fallen at Lucas Oil Stadium and the trophy ceremony had ensued to, of course, deliver the Big Ten championship to the Michigan State Spartans. But right after that, of course, the MVP trophy for the Big Ten title game was announced. And, of course, Connor Cook won the trophy. But a lot of people were upset, and I think justly so, at the way Connor Cook accepted the trophy from Ohio State legend and two-time Heisman winner Archie Griffin. Cook, you know, as soon as his name was announced, he just snatched the trophy out of the hands of Archie and didn't even really shake his hand. He kind of gave him like an awkward handshake, didn't even look at him in the eye, just kind of took the trophy and said, okay, I'm ready for my interview. And when I saw it, because I was sitting on the field, Tim was shooting the post-game trophy ceremony, and I was watching it on the Jumbotron, actually, on the field, because it was at a tough angle for me to see on the field. And I saw Cook snatch the trophy, and I immediately said to myself, oh, that didn't look good. That didn't look good whatsoever. So Cook, after he accepts the trophy and he does a few interviews on the field, right before he goes on the studio panel for the Big Ten Network to talk about the win and winning the Big Ten title game, he says, hey, guys, man, I, you know, that trophy ceremony didn't look too good. I didn't look too good on that because he, I guess he checked his phone and his Twitter was blowing up with negative comments about how he accepted the trophy. So Cook took it upon himself to say, hey, I want to apologize. And here is what he had to say on the broadcast.
When you came up here, you said to us off camera, hey, this exchange of the MVP trophy with Archie Griffin didn't go great and you felt terrible about it. I just want to give you an opportunity to say whatever it is you want to say.
Yeah, so I checked Twitter and everyone was, you know, talking all sorts of, you know, crap to me, saying that, you know, it was very disrespectful, and I'm not a disrespectful guy. You know, I would never by any means disrespect anyone, especially a man like Archie Griffin. It was me caught up in the moment, you know, trying to celebrate with my teammates, and the way I grabbed the trophy looked very disrespectful, and I would never want to do that. So my apologies goes to Archie Griffin, and, you know, I really didn't make it out to be like that. I would never want to be put in a situation like this. You know, you think you check Twitter, and, you know, people would be congratulating you, and there was all these people talking smack, and then you see the video, and I was like, wow, that does look really bad. So, you know, Archie, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. You know, would never want to do anything like that. You know, I respect the heck out of you. You're a great football player, but, yeah, so my apologies goes out to him.
Yeah, well, I'm glad Connor, he acknowledged that the way he accepted the trophy was a bit disrespectful and came off just as arrogant, if you want to be completely honest about it. So I'm glad he came out and said, hey, my bad, that was not my intent. And I'm curious to know whether or not the Michigan State athletic department, you know, maybe John Lewandowski said, hey, brother, that didn't look good. You might need to say something about this. Either way, I'm glad Cook went on the airwaves and cleared the air and said, hey, Archie, I did not mean any harm. My bad. I'm sorry, because it did look bad. Isaac, what do you think about that angle to this whole story? I mean, it kind of came off. I mean, when you first, did you watch the trophy ceremony? Did you see Cook accept the award? And if so, what'd you think?
Well, I actually was not watching the trophy ceremony at the time. Being on campus, there were a few other things going on, you can imagine.
I hope you were safe. I heard couches were burning.
I was nowhere near any sort of danger. I give you my word. But anyway, I actually did not see the trophy celebration and ceremony immediately. I did after the event, though. And, you know, it obviously is only, I mean, you can only construe it one way. When you see just the trophy ceremony, does not look good. Cook has only his eyes on the trophy, and he just brushes right by one of the game's legends. If I'm not mistaken, the first person to ever win two Heisman trophies. Mm-hmm. And it does not look good for Spartan Nation, but I think the apology was very sincere. I can see how a player, I mean, you just won the Big Ten championship. You're going to the playoff. You've got the best chance to win a national championship since 1966.
Right.
It's obvious that, I mean, maybe some of the media celebration and glory can get a little bit in the way of your hype, a little bit of in the way of your celebration. So I can understand how you're kind of like, let me get this over with. And you're not totally focused on what your perception is in the eye of everybody else.
Yeah, I'm not buying that, though.
No.
I'm not buying that one bit. You can take that penny and put it back in your pocket, Isaac. I just really think that, you know, you got to show care. Some guys are just have great character. Not saying that Cook doesn't. Now, maybe he was caught up in the moment. And like you said, he was caught up with celebrating. And he was just, you know, maybe that chip on the shoulder finally came out, you know, like, hey, you guys doubted us and now we're here. Give me that trophy. You know what I mean? Maybe it did come out. But I'm just glad that Cook said, hey, I apologize. My bad. Let's move on. I think people are blowing this up. And really, it's really nothing at the
Me
end
too.
Of the day.
I don't think this should mar the achievement of the Spartans at the end of the day. I think all the Facebook posts, everything should still be focused on a great win, a historic win.
Right, exactly. Very, very true. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two right now. We have Camille on the line. Camille, we have not heard from you in a while. How have you been?
I just haven't been calling.
Gotcha. Well, it's good to know you're listening. How you doing? What you want to chime in on?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just calling to talk about the game on Saturday. What you said about Michigan going to the Citrus Bowl, that was the first I heard. I'm pretty happy for them, though. I think Michigan did good to get there. But what I wanted to say about the MSU game on Saturday, I was actually sick. I had to take some Benadryl, and I was trying to hold out to watch the game. So I ended up taking it, like, at the start of the second half.
Did you fall asleep? Don't tell me you fell asleep.
It kicked in as they were lining up for that final play.
Right, man.
That's when it kicked in. And so I'm like, oh, man, we lost. Like, when I woke up, I'm like, we lost. And the TV was still on, and it said the Spartans was going to the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I'm really high right now.
Are you kidding me? So you fall asleep right before the last play of the game?
I sure did.
Well, not the last play, but the game-winning play? That's crazy, Camille.
Yeah, I went on YouTube and found it. It was everywhere on Facebook where he put the ball to get that last touchdown.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I watched them line up for that, and that's what I ended up missing. But what I was going to say about the game is that playing Alabama, the game itself to me, Michigan State gave us, like, such a nail-biter. Like, I think Michigan State is adding, for us as fans, I think they're adding too much suspense and drama to this game. Like, you be on pins and needles, and then this year it just seems like at the last plays of the game, they're just, like, coming through for us, which you appreciate that. But I'm thinking with Alabama, we're going to have to drop the suspense and, like, just, like, go at it from the beginning, because I've been watching Alabama, and that is a team that's not going to let us play that last minute. You know, those last couple second things that we keep coming out with. So, yeah, it's pretty suspenseful. So I was just calling to see, you know, what would, you know, be your take looking at it from, like, that perspective, because Michigan State have been making us feel pretty lucky.
Right.
Well,
you think the suspense will be totally gone out of this game? You don't think it's going to be a tight one then? Is that what you're saying, Camille, against Alabama?
I'm saying I'm praying that it don't be a tight one, because if it is,
right.
Because if it is, we might not get, I don't want our luck to run out, because we're an awesome team.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Mark D'Antonio did one interview when he was saying they were talking to him about the amount of points they put on the board, and he was saying, well, we're not a team that, you know, really harp on, and I'm not quoting them right, but really, you know, like, pounce on their opponents. Like, if they're winning, they're winning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that mentality had to go this game, because Alabama's not – Alabama don't be playing.
Yeah, that's true. First off, great call, Camille. Thanks for calling. And I think as far as from that standpoint, as you know, looking at the close games and the close wins that MSU has had this year, which really, you know, you got to think that this team has been a team of destiny to get to this point. Because, I mean, you know, looking at the Michigan play, I mean, my gosh, I mean, who's going to fathom that is going to happen in that game? And then the Ohio State game, Michael Geiger, who hasn't been great all year, he nails that field goal to win the game. And then a 22-play, 9-minute drive to beat Iowa. I mean, Michigan State is – I don't think it's a fluke in any way that Michigan State is getting it done in those moments. But at the end of the day, you can't play like that against Alabama. I do believe that. I think Alabama is a team that you're going to have to – certainly go tit for tat against and make it close. But if you play around and you're not on your game, it could easily get out of hand, especially when looking at Bama's defense. I think Bama's defense is absolutely fantastic. Camille, great call. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's go to our next caller here. We got Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing just fine, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Monday, my friend.
Now, I want to get to the Connor Cook thing, but I'm just in listening to your last discussion about their fortunes in terms of some of these games at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that today I read something. It was by the late Governor George Romney, who talked about having some luck in politics. He says, provided you agree with my definition of luck, and that is when preparation is joins up with opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fact that Michigan State has been prepared all year allowed them to make some of those plays, even the ones that seemed a little fluky.
Right. I agree. I agree with you, because, you know, they have certainly worked to make sure that in those crunch time moments, they are not – They're not, you know, the moment isn't too big for them. And I certainly agree with that. I mean, this team has been through a lot, Kirk. I mean, even looking at the last few years, I mean, D'Antonio has established a winning culture here so that when they need to get the job done, when they're faced with those moments of adversity, they're not awed by it. It's like they've been there before, you know?
Right.
I agree.
So Here's my thing about Connor Cook, and I haven't heard anyone mention it up to this point, although you guys may have mentioned it earlier in the show because I just tuned in a little bit ago.
Okay, gotcha.
But when I was watching that celebration, when they were giving the coach the trophy for the game and all that other stuff, I found it very interesting that while Connor Cook was up on that podium or on that stage, he was way in the back, kind of by himself. They showed him two or three times before he was announced as the MVP, and he was by himself, and he had this look on his face that was intense, and I'm not sure what it was all about. My take on it is they had told him he was going to be the MVP, and that bothered him, because he knew he hadn't played the greatest game in the world. He knew physically he wasn't there or whatever, and he knew that the real MVPs were his offensive line, and that's what he said. So when he went up there and took that trophy, he had a sense of purpose about him of making sure his offensive line got the due it deserved, and in the meantime, all his manners went out the window, shall we say.
Right. And, you know, I did not see that, Kirk, because, again, I just caught when he walked up and got the trophy. I didn't see him in the back kind of to himself. And then I even looked at the replay last night. The replay cut off as soon as that, you know, Michigan State stormed the field. So they didn't show the trophy ceremony. But that may be an accurate analysis. I mean, maybe when he got word, because let's be real here. Again, as you stated, Kirk, Connor didn't have the best game. There were a lot of overthrows. I thought that shoulder was bothering him. He made big plays when he needed to, though. I go back to that third and eight when he connected with Burbridge. He had to put that ball right on the money between two Iowa defenders, and that kept the drive going. That was a big play and a big moment. And, of course, the QB keeper on fourth and two to renew downs right in the red zone. I mean, those were huge plays. But I didn't see before he walked up that he was by himself. And maybe that is. That's a good idea to play around with, though. Man, I didn't notice that at all.
His body language, if you put yourself back in that moment, they've just won. They've just gotten the team trophy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting in the back. He's not in the front up there with Shalik and the rest of those seniors celebrating. He's in the back kind of by himself, and his body language was just kind of weird to me. And that's what makes me think – something was bothering him. Now, whether it was about whether he deserved it or not, or what was going on, something wasn't, it didn't connect with that moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly, right.
That's why I, given his apologies and everything else, I think he was just focused on something else, and I'm just conjecturing what it is, but I think he was focused on something totally different, and his manners went out the window.
There's no denying that his manners went out the window. I think we can come to that conclusion pretty firmly. Kirk, thanks a lot for the call, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And again, I have to bring this up again with only, 5 minutes left in the show. For the fourth time in a college basketball regular season, the Michigan State men's basketball team is number one in the rankings. The Spartans moved up from number three to number one in the AP poll, getting 62 of 65 first-place votes. The last MSU team to top the rankings was Tom Izzo's 2013-14 team in December of 2013. Izzo's 2000 and 2001 team also spent time at number one, as did the 78 and 79 MSU team that won the national title under Judd Heathcote, which, of course, on that roster was Irvin Magic Johnson. Wow, MSU was also number one in the USA Today coaches poll. Of course, Kentucky got beat by UCLA last week, and Maryland also lost to Propel, an inevitable Spartan number one ranking. Congratulations. What a time it is to be a Spartan. Of course, Michigan State number one in basketball, Michigan State number three in football, and amongst the Final Four in the college football playoff. There is really, there is no better era than right now in Spartan lore. Pretty cool stuff. Isaac, want to get your thoughts finally on what is it? I mean, such a busy show today on what you saw on Saturday, and what was your thoughts of Michigan State coming through on that last drive?
Well, I think it all comes down to that final drive. Just the mantra, reach higher, Spartans will, all of it culminates into one drive, a 22-play, 9-minute-long drive. And Al, I did the math after because I saw, boy, this drive, they're just eking out every single first down. It's, nothing is easy for the Spartans right here. They're just barely getting the first down. It seemed like every single time, if the refs wanted to, they could have measured it. So I went on, I did a little bit of statistical research myself, and you need to average about 3.4 yards an attempt, considering that you have three plays in a drive, to get a first down. The Spartans averaged 3.7 on that drive. They were barely getting a first down by less than a yard every single time. And they just found a way to keep going. It was perfect. Couldn't have been any more picturesque for them because they eliminated Beathard's opportunity to march back down and make the difference in that game. So really, it was one of the best drives I've ever seen. And, you know, you could make a debate that that Connor Cook situation never should have aroused because LJ Scott should have won that game MVP.
Yeah, I mean he was certainly a horse in that last drive, and they gave him the ball a lot of times. I think it was something like 11 straight. I don't know if those 11 straight run plays weren't all to LJ Scott, but he came big. And then on that last play, I mean, he just kept fighting, and then was able to just reach across the end zone. Just a spectacular play, and arguably the greatest drive in Michigan State football history. Well, folks, 3 minutes left. Let's hit you with weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's going.
All right, I've just got three as we approach, 1 minute left in the show. Cam Newton beating the Saints. They are still undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFL. They moved to 12-0, just the ninth team to ever do that in NFL history. Also, shout out to Drake. His back-to-back music track is the first ever Grammy-nominated diss track. And last but not least, the Spartans. They are certainly my weekend winner. Unbelievable stuff. So, yeah, congratulations, Cam Newton, Drake, and the Michigan State football team. Isaac?
Yeah, it's hard to leave MSU off that list. So they're, of course, there for me. Also, the Portland Timbers, winner of the MLS Cup last night. Hope soccer continues to grow in America. That was a fantastic game. And then also, I'm going to say the Michigan Wolverines. I think Florida is a great matchup for them, going up against one of the best defenses in the Big Ten in Michigan. I mean, I think Florida, they can't score on anybody at this point, only put up two against Florida State. So I think Michigan lucked out with this one.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I do think for the average Michigan fan, I do think this season is going to be looked at as a disappointment in their eyes, as Martin talked about earlier in the show, because they didn't beat their rivals and they didn't compete in the Big Ten championship game. But nonetheless, it is an improvement from recent years past, I should say. All right, folks, we are out of time. Much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.